203. Start off with someday. Yeah, so. Can you hear me? 203. My trials here on earth will cease someday, and I will have an ending someday, some happy day. Praise God, no more death. We just want to go to the Lord in prayer tonight as we prepare for our Wednesday evening service. I know that there's a lot of situations, a lot of people who are sick and afflicted, a lot of people traveling, so let's remember all of those. If you have a special request tonight, just lift your hand, an unspoken request, and God knows and sees every need. Join with me in prayer tonight as we pray for these needs. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come tonight to love you and to honor you and to praise you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, for this another time and an opportunity that you've given us to gather together. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. Direct this service, Lord. Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are afflicted. Father, we pray, God, that you would strengthen, touch, and anoint and heal their bodies. Those in the hospitals and the nursing homes, strengthen and comfort them as well. And Father, we pray your hand of protection upon those who may be traveling, God, to keep them safe. We ask you now, Lord, that you, the Holy Spirit, will just lead us, God, in this service tonight, that we'll be submissive, obedient to your will and to your word, and we'll look to you, Lord, and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go any further with the service, there's a song, if I can find it, I'd like for us to maybe sing a verse or two of it. It's Everybody Will Be Happy Over There. And that's on page 180. Y'all sounded good on that other one, so let's sing out real loud on this one. What a promise. Everybody will be happy over there. Is that G? Y'all help me out now. Well, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the Savior Lord. Praise. And you may be seated tonight. Receive our Wednesday night offering at this particular time. And remember, Wednesday night offering goes into the Good Samaritan Fund to help situations and folks that sometimes might need just a little pick-me-up. So this offering is set aside for that. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless the offering tonight? Susan, would you start our singing off, and then maybe Sister Linda, if you'd have a song for us tonight, and Brother McCoy, you got one. Did you bring your band tonight? Okay. All right. You pray for our singers tonight. Lord.
Jesus, only lay Y'all look so pretty. The men folks said thank you. I don't guess they hear that very much, Sister Penny.
Probably not.
Y'all worship the Lord as I try to sing a song. It's like, I know a man who can. Sounded good though. Sorry about that. Three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire because before the king they did not bow, but they said, oh, listen, king.
You know, this song starts off with kindly, I think, a way most of us feel today with all this stuff that's going on around us. But in the song, it gives us hope. It tells us about a place, like Brother Ed said a while ago, you know, where there's no headaches and no sorrows. So favored. You ready?
See, there will be peace in the valley.
You know, it says there will be peace in the valley for me. Let's flip that and change from me to us. All right? For all of us. Okay? God bless you.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though often I fail and bring Him much shame.
Say a little something. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. That's about all I need to say. I don't know if He set you free, but He set me free. If you've been set free, say amen.
Amen. Praise God. You could have actually said a little more if you wanted to. I didn't mean to scare you and say just say a little bit. You could give a long testimony. Isn't God good? Said, ain't God great? Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see you fine folks on a Wednesday night. Hope and pray everything's going well with you. Anybody lift your hand and say it's been a great week? All right. Most 100%, you know. But it is a good week. Regardless of what we're going through, amen, it's good when we know Jesus Christ. Amen. He is that constant abode. And I love that promise that He has. That He won't leave us and He won't forsake us. Amen. But He, in fact, will go all the way with us, even unto the end. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Philippians. Again, we're going to be talking about Paul's letters and his instructions to the church. And how many love instructions, amen, from the Word of God? And I believe that they were anointed and coming from God through the Apostle Paul. In the book of Philippians tonight, we're going to the second chapter, and we're going to begin with the first five verses in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Paul writes, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Brother Chris, would you lead us in prayer tonight? Ask God's leadership and his guidance tonight. Yes, Lord. Amen. Give the Lord praise. One hand clap for praise, and you may be seated. Amen. I love the story of Paul. I love the life. I love the transformation that took place from Saul to Paul, and how immaculate that was on the road to Damascus when the Lord kind of checked him and pricked him and then changed his direction. How many of us can testify to the fact that the Lord, in fact, changed our direction, regardless of where we were, where we came from, when we came to the knowledge of Christ? He certainly transformed us into a different lifestyle in a different way. But the Apostle Paul was greatly used. You remember the promise that God had a great work for the Apostle Paul. Now, many of the epistles that Paul wrote, or the letters, were in fact letters of instruction, letters of doctrine, letters of reproof. But here he begins to the church of Philippi in a different text and a different frame of mind. In fact, he and Timothy, and it starts off, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons." This was, in fact, an established church. He said, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he goes on to say, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So we find, as he begins this letter, it is a complimentary letter. It's about sending grace and prayers and salutations to the church at Philippi, but he's also comforted in the fact that they still have the joy and that they're still an established church and they're doing those things that the church and that he has taught them to do, and also to remind them of his great thankfulness and gratitude for the help, the financial help and the support that they had given to him as a missionary, and especially when he was visiting the church in Philippi. They took wonderful care of him, and he wanted to mention that. But he wanted to remind them of something, and that's where he begins in the second verse, or the second chapter. And how many knows, regardless of how long that we've been serving God, reading the scriptures, praying, and being active in church, every once in a while, the Spirit of the Lord needs to remind us of certain things. And for a text tonight, I would just simply call this the Comforter. How many is thankful for the Comforter? Don't raise your hand, but how many of us are aware of all of the qualities entailed in having the Comforter? It's more than just a help. It's more than just a constant abode. I thank the Lord for the promise of Jesus Christ himself. He said these things in the book of St. John, in the 14th chapter, in the 25th verse, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So the Apostle Paul, again, recites the words of Christ, or remembers the words of Christ, and he is assuring the church at Philippi of the qualities and the benefits of having the Spirit of the Lord within us. I, for one, am so thankful for the dispensation of grace. I am so thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Prior to that, we had the Holy Spirit with us, but after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the sending back of the Comforter, how many knows it's an honor to have this Holy Spirit within us? And I, as a mere mortal, need that constant abode of the Holy Spirit within me to lead me, to guide me, teach me, and remind me the things that Jesus taught when he was here on this earth. So the Apostle Paul, again, begins to tell them, and I want to read from, if you will excuse me and bear with me, I want to read from the Amplified Version, the very first two verses of that same scripture there in Philippians 2, 1 and 2. Now, and it goes into just a little bit more of a definition, or a little deeper dive, if you would, into the Paul's writing and what his intent was. And it says here in the Amplified Bible, "Whatever," or "so by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ," by whatever, that's in parentheses, here are the qualities that he mentions: strengthening and consoling and encouraging in him by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, which we know that God is love, and by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassionate sympathy. I think so many times, you know, we're told that the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit, is a comforter, and many times we think as a comforter, it is one that just only consoles us. But the Apostle Paul is reminding the church at Philippi that it's much more than that. It's strength. What was some of the things that I said? It's strength, it's encouragement, it's affection, it's compassion, it's sympathy. All of those qualities that Christ had while he walked here on this earth. You know, there's a little wristband that was popular at one time, said WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, we are to mimic what Jesus would do. And we're going to read in a little bit what it says, or here in verse 5, it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." How do we do that? By the leading of the Holy Spirit, by the leading of the Holy Ghost, or the Comforter that was sent back for that purpose, to lead us and guide us, amen, and cause us to be able to understand that whatever we face, whatever problems arise in our life, we have a Comforter that not only consoles us, but strengthens us, leads us, and guides us. So Paul's instructing the church at Philippi here the many qualities of being filled with the Comforter, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And thank God for that Spirit that dwells within us. God knew in Moses' time, and he knew in the patriarchs, that sooner or later there was going to have to be a supreme sacrifice. You know, the sacrifices were offered up in abundance for the sins, and it just merely rolled back the sins. But there came a time when there had to be a sacrificial lamb. Thank God that it was the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, who became that sacrificial lamb. But he did not leave us without hope, and he did not leave us without strength, and he did not leave us without comfort. He said, "I will send the Comforter in my name." And the reason that I was thinking about this is because that we need to be able to endure the hardships that are in this world. Whereas lots of people that don't have that relationship with the Lord may be in a constant state of stress,
a constant state of fear, a constant state of uneasiness or confusion. But as long as we have that comforter, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems. I think that is a misconception a lot of times, especially in converts or people who are just starting out or trying to learn about the Spirit of the Lord. They think that once they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that all their problems and all of their troubles are over. Well, we know, as Jesus himself gave us an example, soon as he was baptized, he was what? Led into the Spirit, by the Spirit, into the desert or into the wilderness. And there he was tempted by Satan. So that should let us know that just because that we're filled with the Spirit of God, just because we've made that determination that we're going to let the world go by and we're going to follow Jesus Christ in every facet and every avenue of our life, we're still going to have problems and trials and situations and problems that's going to arise in our life. But through all of that, Paul reminds us and reminds the church at Philippi that we have a comforter which gives us power. The Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Great power, power to cast out demons, power to heal the sick, not in our ability, but through the Spirit of God that he has given us, amen, not only to keep us and preserve us, amen, but to cause us to actually exhibit these qualities that Paul was talking about to the church at Philippi. And then he says, fill up my joy, or fulfill my joy, that you be like-minded. In other words, as Paul was probably the originator, the starter of the church at Philippi, he says, continue in that teaching. Continue in the Spirit of the Lord and have the same like-mindedness. In other words, be in one mind and one accord. That's probably one phrase that has almost become a cliche in Pentecostal services. But I think sometimes that we really need to think about that, exactly what that means to be in one mind and one accord. You know, when we come and gather in the house of the Lord, the Bible instructs us, you know, to be like-minded and to lay aside our burdens and our heavy weights and all of those things and be in tune or be focused in on the Spirit and the moving of God in our services. Because I don't believe there's a one of us in our congregation that knows exactly what God has intended for a specific service. I've been ministering for a number of years. Brother Chris has been ministering for a number of years, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think God always fills us in exactly what he's going to do. Now, he'll lead us in certain scriptures, and he'll lay a sermon on our heart, and we know when that thing's burning in our heart, we know that we need to get that out. We don't know who that's for. We don't know what effect it's going to have on people, but God does. And when the people come in, and they're in one mind and one accord, I will assure you, and I can probably get singers and preachers to back me up, there is a difference when everybody is in one mind and one accord. Like-minded, letting the Spirit of God move and flow, because so many times some of the greatest songs can be sung, some of the greatest scriptures can be read, but if our mind is wandering, if we're thinking about what we're going to do when we get out of church, or if we come in so burdened down. And I've often said, I think sometimes we as Pentecostals, we get our service kind of backwards. We wait till the end to pray for folks. We wait till the end to have an altar call. And that's all right. And some of that's tradition and some of that's just the way we do things. But really, if we come in and we can't get in one mind and one accord, and if Satan's trying to cause dissension or trying to cause confusion or even trying to get our minds off of something, off of worshiping the Lord, that should be the time that we gather together and pray for the leadership of the Holy Ghost to lead and guide and direct our services. It's all right with me if the Holy Ghost takes over. Amen. I do not have a problem with that whatsoever. If we have one song and the Holy Ghost wants to move and move on folks, because the Holy Ghost of God can do more in 1 second than I could do in a lifetime. And I thank God for the moving of the Spirit. But I want us to understand that we have this comforter not just to pat us on the back and hug us when we feel bad and kind of lift us up when we're down and out. And he does all of that, and thank God for it. If the Holy Ghost has ever lifted you up, give him praise tonight. Give him a hand clap. But it's also to remind us that we got power. And we have that strengthening ability, and we have that ability to do things for the Lord as long as we do it in the right frame of mind. Because then he says, let nothing be done in strife or vainglory. We're not about patting ourselves on the back. We have t-shirts that we had made, I don't know, several years ago, and some of the literature and stuff that we have. And it says it's not about us, it's all about him. And you know, that's as much to remind us as it is to be an advertisement to the world. Because, you know, we got a lot to be thankful for. We've been blessed as a church, as a congregation. God has poured out his blessings. We've seen miracles. We've seen mighty moves of God. And God has blessed us with wonderful and beautiful people. But, if we ever get to thinking it's about us or we had a hand in this and doing this other than just being a messenger and an instrument in the hands of the Lord, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. But as long as everything that comes out of this service is given to God and honor and glory and praise unto him, God will continue to bless and God will continue to anoint. So Paul is encouraging the church at Philippi, and he's telling them, you know, you're doing the right things and all, but I just want you to understand what a wonderful thing it is to have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling within us. It's more than just a comforter or a feel-good spirit. Amen. I thank God for the closeness of his Spirit when things aren't going good. Man, when things are going really, really well, I think many, many times we take the Spirit of God for granted. But you let things go bad, situations turn south, so to speak, problems arise in our life, sickness, affliction, a number of things. You know, there's so many pitfalls out there, so many stumbling blocks. But thank God we never, ever in any instant face those things alone. We've always got the comfort of the Holy Spirit that is within us. And you know, it makes me think of the little poem or whatever it is, the one set of footprints. You know, and that's how we get sometimes. You know, we're thinking, Lord, where are you? I'm going through this battle. I'm going through this situation, this problem. And the person says, I only see this one set of footprints and wanted to know where God was. And then God reminds him, said, that was, you know, my footprints. That's when I was carrying you. If you've ever been carried by the Spirit of the Lord, amen, just lift your hand and give him a wave offering tonight. Amen. Thank God for the ability that he has to lift us up and encourages us. But he tells us, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Amen. When we get in one mind and one accord and have our mind on the Lord. And you know, that's something that we should dwell to do or try to do even when we're not in service. Because the day and hour that we're living in, we need to constantly have our mind and our spirit on the power of God. Because there's situations that arise in our lives. I mean, it'll just rise up and hit you and face you that you had no preparation for whatsoever. But thank God, there is a spirit that is within us. And that's how much Jesus loved us. He loved us so much that he died on the cross of Calvary to send back his Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us. And then it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. When I read that, I instantly had a flashback to the Beatitudes. And this afternoon, as I was reading, I flipped back and I began to read the Beatitudes again. You know, blessed are the meek and blessed are the holy and all of those. And Christ's words was telling us the wonderful things and warning us. It said, the meek is going to inherit the earth. It's not that we are to think anything of ourselves, but it's all attributed to God and through his Spirit. But he also reminds us that we will be persecuted. And men shall revile us and say all manner of things against us. And he said, we're blessed when that happens. Now, in the natural mind, we're wondering, Lord, where's the blessing in that? Amen. Think about it, if you didn't have that comforter within you and people were persecuting you and saying all manner of things about you and reviling against you, if you didn't have the comfort of that Spirit, amen, to lead you and guide you. And let me tell you something. Today, this thing right here, it's being inundated with all kinds of, what can I say, data, material, falsehoods, fear-mongering, all of those things. And I think it's Satan's way of trying to exact fear in the life of God's people. Folks, let me tell you something. We have nothing to fear when we have the Spirit of God within us. And one fellow said it this way, what's the worst thing that Satan can do? Kill us and send us to heaven. Amen. Then all of our troubles and trials will be over. You know, if you, and this holds true to a bully too, and that's all Satan is, he's a bully. As long as the bully thinks that it's bugging you, he's going to keep on doing it. Same thing, you know, if they hang a nickname on you and it just irritates you to death and aggravates you, they're going to keep calling you that. But if you laugh it off like it don't mean nothing, you know, it ain't no fun anymore. And if Satan keeps coming bombarding us and we just, you know, Satan, I'm not having what you're selling. I'm not going to believe that, because he that is within me is greater than anything you could bring against me. I have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that is within me, not only to pat me on the back and console me, but to give me strength, amen, to give me compassion, to give me power over anything that you can bring against me. And sooner or later, like he did Jesus, he left him for a season after he found out that everything Jesus gave to him in response was the Word. And that still works today. I don't think we take full advantage of the power of the Word when any problem comes against us, especially when Satan comes and tries to tempt us. The Word will always put him, amen, on his heels. So let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, lowliness of mind, and let each esteem other better than themselves. Let me just pause there for just a minute. I don't believe that there is a person alive today that doesn't like a compliment or just, a kind thought or a kind word. Now, it's embarrassing sometimes because we don't know how to handle those things, but it's not unpleasant. Somebody says something to you about maybe something in your, you're such a precious saint of God. I've got so much confidence in your prayers. You know, we don't really know what to say to that, but it really makes us feel good. And there's nothing wrong with lifting one another up. I believe today is a day that we ought to be encouraging one another. There's so much discouragement in the world today that the church and the saints of God, in which, whether you like it or not, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Look around. This is your family. Amen. You can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family, right? Amen. This is the house of God. And we need to lift one another up and you know, not put ourselves or lord ourselves over anybody, and especially church. Let me throw this in. When you're witnessing to folks, don't demean them. Step on them and run them down, because except for the grace of God, where would we be? Amen. You know, lift them up, encourage them. Don't compromise the lifestyle they're living. Tell them there's an alternate lifestyle. There's a better way. But like I've told you so many times, the little preacher that had an effect on my granddaddy way before he got saved, he would tell him the same thing. You would make such a good worker for the Lord. And it kind of stuck with my granddaddy. You know, he didn't go to church that night and repent and get saved, but it made an impact, a lasting impact. So, you know, the world's not looking for us to be self-righteous and lord over them and tell them how sorry they are and how good we are. That's not going to win anybody. But if you will do this, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, and lift them up and encourage them. Not their lifestyle, not their sin. Don't condone their sin, but tell them that Jesus loves them. Amen. And Jesus does want to save everybody. It's not his will that any should perish. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Right. When you get your new automobile, a saint of God should never say, yeah, that's pretty nice. I believe I'd have got something else. And you know what I'm talking about. That's kind of a extreme example. But some folks can't lift other folks up for some reason, but lifting their own self up. And Paul says that has no place in the church. You know, we need to love one another, be compassionate, pray for one another, lift one another up, encourage one another. Why? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You remember the little bracelet, WWJD? What would Jesus do? What would he do if he were here today? How would he treat the things that are going on in the world? How would he treat other people? You know, he was constantly, you know, some of these we read in the Bible and all, but if you read in Bible history, some of those times, those prayer vigils lasted all day and all night. Jesus was right there with them to the very last one. And sometimes he wouldn't even eat, and he would go and fast, and then he would go again and pray for folks and minister to folks and love folks. And, you know, we have account after account after account of how Jesus was even compassionate on the sinner. Not the sin, but the sinner. And thank God he was compassionate on me. Amen. And gave me an opportunity to receive the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Comforter. I want to go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. And we'll try to bring it to a close in verse 7 and 8. Again, this is the letter of Paul. And we're just barely scratching the surface of this letter. It's a really, really good book to read of encouragement and instruction. And just, and you can feel and almost discern the love and the admiration that Paul had for this church. And again, you know that Paul was a missionary. He started churches, but he would write to, a lot of times the only communication he had with the church was just writing them a letter. And he would visit them when he could. But this is a wonderful, wonderful pastoral letter that he wrote to the church. And in the verse 7 of the fourth chapter, he said, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." Thank God for his peace. Not the peace of the world, not even the peace of this church, but the peace of God passeth all understanding. And it says, "Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Then he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." I mean, he knows we need to speak truth, and we need to know the truth. And when we know the truth, what does it say? The truth will set you free. Amen. We need to know the truth. "Whatsoever things are honest." Can I remind you that everything you hear today is not truth and it's not honesty? You have to understand and know what the truth is, and you have to understand that do the things that are honest. "Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report. These are the things that causes virtue in our life." So, we don't just receive the Spirit of the Lord just to sit down and wait till he comes. We receive the Spirit of the Lord, first of all, to live a life holy and pleasant, pleasing unto the Lord, but also to be a witness. He talks about a light that is set on a hill. He's not talking about a lighthouse. He's talking about us. He's talking about this vessel. This vessel that we have is a body. It's flesh. But that is within us is the Spirit of God. That's what we want the world to see. You know, I don't care if people ever know my name or remember my name, but if they can remember that Jesus Christ lived in this body, that's the greatest testimony that we can have. And that's what people need to see. And we need to let our walk back up our talk. Amen. As we preach, as we minister, we need to walk in the the walk in the path that Jesus Christ himself has laid. In other words, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many is thankful for the Comforter? How many would agree with me? It'd be a hard time, hard way. It would be difficult, in fact, impossible to live a holy life without the Comforter. And unfortunately, that's the reason a lot of people don't come into salvation, because they say, I can't do it. I can't live that life. Well, that's exactly, I agree with them. You can't. None of us could. But through the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord, that Comforter that he sent back in his name, that's what makes it possible. Amen. God bless you. I love you so very much. I appreciate you. We do really, really need to pray. It's probably not a day that goes by that we don't hear of another case of this virus. And unfortunately, we hear of people passing away. And we know that God is greater than this thing. And we really need to get a hold of the altar of God and pray that God would protect us and that would heal those that are experiencing that virus, because it's really, really evidently highly contagious. So do the things that we know to do, but also walk in faith and believe in God for healing. Amen. Would you stand tonight? If you have a need, if you need to come forward, we'll pray with you. We believe in what the Bible says. If any of you are sick, let him call for the elders, pray the prayer, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith. God said he would deliver them. Is there one tonight? Sure. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And we have seen some praise reports on the text blast and all too, and thank God for that. Some of the folks are getting over the seriousness of it and on their road to recovery. But still, when you hear that, seemingly there's others that pop up. So our prayers are not finished. We need to continue to pray for those, and pray for those who are traveling. Brother Jim and Sister Elaine are down in, I believe, St. Augustine. So let's pray for them as well and others who may be on the road. God bless you. We love you. Hope to see you Sunday. With this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your word. We're thankful for those who gathered here tonight. And Father, we pray your blessing upon each and every one. Help us to be mindful, God, of the great, wonderful Spirit, God, that you've given us to lead us and guide us and direct us. And Father, let us understand and know that it comes with great power. And Father, we thank you for that power. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, for the good reports of your healing power. And we continue to hold those up in prayer, God, who's still in need. We ask, God, that you would touch them. Lord, reach out right now with your healing power. And Father, we pray that you would protect us as we go home tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed. We love you.